gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A wonderful pre-fall weekend. I felt a little chill in the air. It reminded me of what's to come here in the next few weeks, but... great time of year to be Canadian. Great time of year to be in this part of the world for sure. Thanks for joining us, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. Derek Brandeo and Dan Marino on the board today, steering us off the rocks, as it were. It dawned on me that when I missed a couple of weeks there.
Yep.
That you had a life-altering experience as well. And so we never got a chance to talk about it.
My life-altering experience, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went bungee jumping.
You went bungee jumping.
Yes, I have. I'm trying to find it now, unless it's deleted. I have audio from it, if you want to listen to it.
Oh, sure. Of course I.
Here it is. You'll laugh at this.
All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well done.
Jumped 18 stories.
Well done.
Yes.
And was it everything you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it was amazing. I would do it again.
You would?
Yeah, next thing is skydiving next year.
Look at you, Mr. Adventurer.
Yeah, trying to do one crazy thing a year, and that was my crazy thing for the year.
Who would have thunk it? Eh? Good for you. And now, how long did that whole thing take from start to finish, from the time you entered the... Okay, so what is it? It's a crane?
Yeah, it's a crane inside a old quarry.
Yeah. Where is it?
It was in Quebec.
In Quebec. You had to go out of province to jump.
Yes, that's the highest jump, the highest bungee jumping in Canada.
Really?
Great Canadian Bungee.
Great Canadian Bungee is in Quebec.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And we don't have anything here.
No.
In this part of the world. No.
No.
All right. Okay, carry on.
I knew you were going to say that.
Nope. I'm just curious.
So we woke up, drove down there. We had to sign our life away. So
of course.
If you die, it's not their
problem. Can you imagine the liability?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even read it. I wanted to read it, but
yeah.
I'm like, no, it's like 5 pages long. I'm like, no. So you have to, once you sign, you have to get weighed and then they give you like a harness or whatever and you walk up this
harness.
Huge hill. Yeah, cause you get,
I thought they tied your foot.
Well, you have to have this whole harness on.
Oh.
So if anything does happen to your feet, they.
When we jumped in New Zealand, it was just by the foot.
Well, that's probably why.
So you have an actual body harness.
Like it's on your waist.
Yeah.
And they go down and then they attach these things on your ankles.
Yes.
As well as the body harness. And then.
Oh, so it's like a backup.
Exactly. Oh. Just in case anything does happen, knock on wood.
So, yeah, really. Like, that's not a real dangerous jump then.
Well.
Like, you shouldn't have told me that. I thought, wow.
Well, they probably have rules now. Like, when did you jump? Like 1976 or something?
It was a while ago. They just tied a string around your ankle.
Oh yeah, that's why.
And said, "Duck if you're getting too close to the ground when you jump."
The craziest thing is you meant to like dive, right?
Right.
And you know when you look at something, there's a movie. I can't remember the movie, but you know you see in the movies when you look down like a bridge or whatever, and they zoom out and it looks a lot bigger than it is.
Right.
That's what I saw when I jumped.
Right.
And my body is like, okay. You can't, don't, what's wrong with you? Why are you jumping?
Why are you doing this?
What's wrong with you? And then you're like, but my head's like, you gotta do this. It's gonna be fun. And instead of diving off, I jumped off.
Is there a point where you contemplated turning back when you're going up? I'm assuming you're climbing up, right?
We have to walk up this huge hill and then there's like little area you walk up on the crane
right.
And then you have to walk down the crane.
So is there, at any point during that walk, did you say no? No, I'm going to turn around and I'm going back down.
It was more of driving too, because like it's right. A 4-hour drive or whatever. So your mind's
right.
Going like, what if this happens? What
right.
if that happens?
Right. Right. Right.
But then once I got up there, I'm like, yeah. And then it hit me again saying, okay, what's wrong with you? And then all I hear is 3, 2, 1, and then I jumped and you heard that scream.
Can we hear it again? I like that. That was great. I love that scream. I was
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
God, that was fantastic. All right, nicely done, buddy. Good for you.
My whole family laughing at that scream.
Oh, no kidding.
I never knew I could make that sound.
It just dawned on me that we missed that moment because I was away. Labor Day.
Yes.
Labor Day. My favorite day of the year is Labor Day.
Why is that?
I just love labor in general.
That's why we're here right now, right?
Labor Day. End of the summer. That's what it means. Oh,
yeah.
And teachers, of course, are celebrating that they're going back to... Oh, maybe not so much.
Well, they're getting paid now.
Kids? No, not. Nobody's celebrating going back to school.
Yeah. I never liked...
What do you mean they're getting paid now?
Well, don't they not get paid during the summer?
Yeah, right.
I thought they don't get... I thought they, like, bank their holidays or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, that's how much you know.
Yeah. Teaching. I'm not a teacher, so I don't know.
I have several friends that are teachers.
Really?
I have four or five. I don't know. There's so many of them I forget. Yeah, no, they tell me about their work. They're not happy to go back, let me tell you right now.
They stick a TV in front of the kids. You know?
I want to remind folks that if you have not done so, you need to visit fishingcanada.com website. Of course, not only does it feature incredible outdoor information, outdoor blogs, how-tos, hot spots, outdoor news, wild game recipes. Of course, this very program is on there.
Yep.
You can listen to the radio podcast there. You can subscribe to the exclusive Fishing Canada online newsletter there, and you'll receive it weekly.
Yep.
But more importantly, I mean, as if that wasn't all important enough, more importantly, it's your chance to win a Mercury 9.9 four-stroke engine. Ooh. Absolutely free. All you have to do is enter. If you're not entered, then, like, I don't even know what to say after this length of time. We've been at this, what, 4 months now, I think? Somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Since March.
Yes.
April, March, May, June, July, August. Yeah, I don't know.
Somewhere.
6 months.
Somewhere around there.
Half a year. Anyways, if we have not gotten through to you to go on there at this point, then I don't know. Nah, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up. We've got till December to give away all of the, we have 9 9.9s that we started out with. And there are 4 more months to come. And I'm not going to give up. And I need you to go there right now, fishingcanada.com. Enter. It's a skill testing question, but it has the answer under the hint button. For God's
so it's
sake.
Not really a skill testing question, though.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, I suppose. But if you want to cheat, just push hint and boom, there it is. But anyways, yeah, go there and enter. And enter often, by the way. Every 24 hours, you can put a new ballot in. Every 24 hours. The more ballots you have in, the better your chance of winning. Very simple.
There's also bonus ballots, too.
And tell me about those, Stephen.
So after you enter, you can go and there's a whole bunch of things. You can like us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, a little quick thing, don't subscribe to our newsletter yet. You can get a free entry if you subscribe to our newsletter on the contest. So don't do that right away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why are you whispering?
Because it's a secret.
Oh, you don't want anybody to know.
No, yeah.
All right. Good for you. Fishingcanada.com. Go there. Go often and enter. 9.9 Mercury. Absolutely free. The next one is September 16th, coming up.
Yes.
A couple of weeks from now. We'll be giving away our fifth one.
I love pressing the button, and it brings the person up and like, hey, Bob wins. Like,
yeah.
For Bob.
It must be exciting for you to be have that much power.
Well, yeah, just press that one button. It's not really exciting. But
in the news, have you noticed while, you know, I've been convalescing, bears have taken the stage front and center? Bears everywhere.
Oh.
Bears are in the news everywhere. Not always good, by the way. Some were, but some of them not so much.
What's going on?
I don't know. It seems like bears are on a bit of a rampage. In the past month, there have been a number of stories about bears in the news. Banff and Jasper National Parks are the two top areas, a hot area, bear hot zones. A hiker was bitten by a bear when he was hiking on a popular trail at Lake Louise, for example. In Kananaskis country. Can you say that? Kananaskis?
Kananaskis?
Attaboy.
Yeah.
You couldn't say that before you jumped.
Kananaskis!
Exactly. which is right outside of Banff National Park. A trail had to be closed because there was too much grizzly bear activity on a very popular hiking trail.
Oh.
And in Jasper, the National Park staff have stopped. Now, get this is good. They have stopped putting up bear warning signs.
Because it is everywhere.
No, because the bear warning signs apparently are attracting too many visitors to the park.
Hey, boo-boo, look at those guys over there.
Exactly. The bear warning signs are attracting too many visitors to Jasper National Park.
To watch bears.
To watch bears, and apparently there's so many bears, it's now risky, and the park employees are contemplating just shutting the whole thing down.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And meanwhile, in Great Britain, which is very rarely in our news here, so I thought I would throw it in there.
Well, jump over there. Jump over the woods.
Just outside of Bristol, which is west of London, very close to London, there's excitement in the air, apparently, as brown bears will be penned in one of two paddocks in a small area. It's about a hectare, 2.5 acres, actually, in size, of an ancient forest. But that's not the big news.
Okay.
Stephen. This is Great Britain now.
Yeah, they're
so
weird over there.
So they're excited because there's going to be some brown bears in a pen very soon. They're opening up this new exhibit, brown bears in a pen in Bristol, just outside of London.
Yep.
But the real excitement is that now I'm not making this stuff up. If anybody thinks I'm winging this, you're absolutely wrong. This is supplied to me by our crack research department. Okay, Mr. Winters gives me this.
Okay.
And apparently, the real excitement comes from the fact that there will be wolves located in the pen next to the bears, Stephen.
Oh,
yes. And so the Brits are flocking to Bristol.
What's next? Going to be like a petting zoo? They're going to pet the bear and the wolves?
They're next to each other. And what's really interesting here is that this will be the first time that bears and wolves will be side by side in a natural woodland in Great Britain. In 1,000 years, this is the first time that this incredible exhibition will be open to the public.
Very lovely. Look at that.
1,000 years ago, somebody did this. And they said, well, what are we doing? Like, why are we? Nobody wants to see it. 1,000 years later, we're doing it again, apparently.
History repeats itself.
Yep. A bear pen next to a wolf pen. There you go. Thank you, John Winters. Congratulations to Marco Grigio, Conservation Officer of the Year.
Oh.
We just wanted to congratulate him for sure on the program. Every year we do it when they announce it. And Marco works out of Thunder Bay. And one of his roles is marine safety for field officers. So we're big on that. And good on Marco. And he was selected, as I mentioned, as a Conservation Officer of the Year.
Very nice.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Our guests, we better start talking about guests. I'm going to run out of show here. Dr. Stephen Cook will be joining us. A fascinating guy. He's a regular on the program. He teaches fisheries biology at the Cook Lab of Carleton University in Ottawa. And we're going to talk to him about research and why is it that some research results, we're always talking about, you know, having science-based information and making decisions based on science and, you know, wanting science to regulate and manage our wildlife and all this stuff, right? We put so much trust in science. We're going to talk today with Dr. Cook about some of the results, especially results that cannot be repeated if you run the test a second time, which is kind of weird. You would think science is pretty solid.
Yeah.
You do a test. Here's the result. If you don't believe me, let's run the test again, and I'll show you.
Not science.
Not so.
Really?
Apparently, in some cases, you run tests again, and it's a different result. So how the hell can it be science? It's by guess, by golly, maybe.
It's not a proven fact when there's two different things.
Anyways, we'll talk to Dr. Cook about that and a whole bunch. I want to talk to him about that bass kill that we talked about last week on the program.
Oh, yes.
With Ben Wu. See if he knows anything about it. Sarah McMichael from Ontario Parks has an update on the extended fall seasons in the provincial parks. The annual fall color reports that are posted on their website and an interesting app for recording wildlife sightings. Yeah. Kids, apparently kids love that.
Oh, just take a photo of the bear and...
And the wolf. I wonder if they're going to be recording that in Great Britain in Bristol, just outside of London. Because that would be historic. Because yes. 1,000 years from now, somebody can
hashtag
say this all over. They can use the photos. Exactly. The images.
There's proof.
Retired wildlife biologist and moose expert Bruce Ranta will be joining us. Bruce lives in Kenora, and he's a big game hunter. And he spent a large part of his career working on moose management projects. Bruce has some thoughts on the proposal by the Big Game Management Advisory Committee, or as it's known and called, the Big Mac. He's going to give us his views and opinions on that whole deal. What else do we got? Ah, I would think this is probably one of the biggest stories for 2019 before it's all over. And that is the concern over the forest fires and land clearing in the Amazon.
Yes.
It's an international thing. Brazil has been at the center of the criticism that everybody's levying. But they're not alone on the issue of clearing rainforests, which critics say will be very harmful in the attempts to preserve species from extinction. That's pretty easy to surmise, I would think.
Pretty big.
And in the fight to control greenhouse gases emission as well. Dr. Nigel Sizer will be joining us. He is an international expert on rainforests. He is very familiar with the Amazon. And he says that we should be extremely concerned. He'll join us later to talk to us about that. A lot of things to cover, my friends. But first, we're going to go to a break. How's that sound?
Yes.
We got a lot of show here, folks. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.